I tried to be vegetarian for a few years, I have to say, in graduate school, and it didn't work out very well because at that point I was traveling a lot to Russia. I lived off and on in Russia and Ukraine for quite a while, and they're very heavy meat eaters. And after that, I ended up moving to South Africa for a while, and basically I'm pretty addicted to game. But yeah, goat is my favorite Zimbabwean meal to have with sadza, but I think there's also a hospitality dimension. I think that wherever you go, what it is that people are eating, what it is that they offer you, I think there's something very special and important about taking it.
What else do you like or don't like about Zimbabwe?
Obviously, on a practical level, tend to be institutional. As I think any of your listeners know, a lot of university employees have been put on furlough over the past couple of years. This past few months in particular, I know that at Midland State and at UZ, I believe, people weren't paid for quite a while. So I think that there's always a consciousness when you are a scholar working with Zimbabwean scholars of the fact that you have markedly different financial circumstances and markedly different levels of institutional support. So that's something that's quite difficult to reckon with if you're thinking about being a visiting scholar and trying to build up some of those relationships so that we don't end up with a situation where, you know, Western scholars are able to do more work than their counterparts who are actually living Zimbabwean realities. So that's been difficult. But like I said, in terms of things that I like, I think Zimbabwe actually has an extremely healthy and measured intellectual culture, a culture of argument in a way that, frankly, I haven't found comparatively to be the case in even South Africa.
What do you think is the depth of democracy in that country?
It's by most metrics, not particularly democratic.
You know, there are some people who argue that Zimbabweans are too educated to change the current setup, you know.
Yeah.
Do you ascribe to that kind of school of thought?
It's interesting. I recently had a couple conversations, long Facebook exchanges, and I'm very ambivalent about Facebook, but sometimes you can't avoid it, unfortunately. And I was kind of caught between a South African debate and then speaking privately with a number of Zimbabwean friends about what was going on in South African politics. And one thing that I heard over and over, and again, I think my opinion about this is less relevant just than the fact that it's out there, is that Zimbabweans are criticized by South African counterparts for not being sufficiently revolutionary or what have you. So I realize that that's an opinion that people share. I don't know. I can say that in terms of literary production and just openness and balance of conversation, I think that a widely educated population is always a much better bet than the reverse. I do understand that it may mean to some people kind of having a harder time forging solidarity. And in that case, you know, I think that some of Alex Magese's recent writing, I actually just read something this morning on labor and on the future of the labor movement, even among street vendors and things like that, is probably the most interesting way to go as something more explicitly political.
Now let's turn to this controversial subject, Cecil the Lion. Eh? We know that it was killed by an American, and that is Walter Palmer, who is claiming that it was a legal hunt. What is your opinion on that?
Cecil the Lion has been interesting to me from day one. I actually wrote, I blog in Shona. And I wrote a Shona blog on it called Shonda Yeshumba and had some conversations surrounding that based on that piece. And it was interesting because initially all of the news that I was getting about what people are now calling Cecil Gate over here was from Zimbabwe. My social media news feeds are, for various reasons, primarily Zimbabweans. I would say probably about 80% on my Facebook account, for example. And I was getting it from them, hearing about it. We have a few acquaintances who are working in conservation over there. And then almost immediately, it kind of hit the international scene. And then I suddenly started seeing all of these posts from the same Zimbabwean friends and acquaintances often, you know, kind of reacting against the Western reaction to Cecil. So what was so interesting to me about that whole event was the way that the responses to it were ricocheting off each other. And people who have one leg in both communities, I mean, in my case, you know, kind of East Coast American and Zimbabwean, were kind of caught in the middle, trying to figure out exactly what the responsible position was to hold.
So now, what is your own opinion?
I'm a pretty big animal person, I have to admit, but I do eat meat, and I think that there are a lot of problematic aspects to the history of conservation in Southern Africa. Obviously, a friend of mine, Jacob Dlamini, a South African writer, actually has a book coming out about the history of Kruger Park. And, you know, I think people working in the region are well aware of how fraught the past is racially and politically in thinking about animals instead of people. That said, I also think that there's room to care about a lot of different causes and a lot of different types of harm. And I think that while trophy hunting in, I mean, really the whole region, Zimbabwe, South Africa, Namibia has done a particularly good job, it seems, managing it. While it's often done well, and there are strong cases for its role in conservation, increasingly it's done under the table. And we need to shine a light on the industry because it brings all sorts of political problems to the fore. So I think that the attention to this was not a bad thing. I think that the attention then kind of tipped over what was reasonable, and then you get into a whole spiral of internet shaming and violence, and that I do not agree with.
There are some people who are saying that there is too much attention on this lion thing. Mm-hmm. Zimbabweans are having so many problems. Do you think that's the case?
I do think that's the case, yeah. And, you know, people who couldn't point to Zimbabwe on a map 2 weeks ago suddenly are kind of thinking they have expertise in the country because they've read one New York Times article. So I absolutely do think that's a problem. That said, I think there were also a lot of people that I was encountering who do understand Zimbabwe very well. Again, Zimbabweans working in the park system who were initially happy to see this being discussed. So I think like anything else, it's a matter of finding an equilibrium. It's a matter of finding a balance that makes sense to deal with the issue as such, and then to see how this issue feeds into other problems. You know, the way that the park system, for example, interacts with other aspects of the Zimbabwean government, the relationship between white tourists, although relatively few and far between, and locals, all of that. And unfortunately, I think that most of those considerations were swallowed up by a more passionate response to this particular animal. Yeah.
Now, my last question. I believe that the recent trip to Zimbabwe was not your first trip.
No.
Give us a background of, you know, some of the trips that you have undertaken in Zimbabwe.
I lived in Cape Town off and on for quite a while. I spent the past 3-4 years, something like that, pretty much going back and forth between the U.S. and Cape Town. So I would be there for 4 months every year and then about another month and a half. So close to half the year. That's because my husband is a South African writer and critic. And our first time in Zimbabwe, he had been going for years since he was a kid, really. And we were visiting a writer friend of ours in Bulawayo back in 2013, I guess. And I just fell in love with it. I think that sounds a bit silly, maybe, but I hadn't sort of felt that visceral response to not just a place, but to a language, which for me was Shona, in many, many years. And the last time I felt that, I up and moved to Russia as an 18-year-old. So I said, look, this needs to be an important part of my research going forward. As I told you, the intellectual kind of register there was really fascinating to me. And we stayed for a few weeks, and then we returned again this year for another month for me to do Shona before going back to Cape Town. Mm. And when we're in South Africa, I also work with a Shona teacher there, and I'm in touch with a lot of Zimbabweans in the diaspora in South Africa.
And your last word?
My last word is just, it's great to have you guys here in Maryland, to have people so close who are so involved in thinking about the issues that Zimbabwe deals with and raises. So it's great to be in touch.
Thanks very much, Jean-Marie Jackson, Assistant Professor at Johns Hopkins University in USA, for joining us today on the Diaspora Forum. Thank you so much.
Thank you.